Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. I am Bill Arnold. Thank you for joining me today. We've got a wonderful hour planned ahead. Dr. Greg Borgon is in the studio, and we were chatting during the break about a little incident he had outside as he was pulling some weeds and putting his garbage in the ready for pickup, and some less than considerate person made some comments from his car with some not so nice words. And it stokes a little bit of, you know, something inside of a guy that wants to grab a hold of him and do something not so nice. And I was thinking about 1 Peter 3:9 that says, "Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing." And we want to talk about blessings today because I asked Greg to come in and talk about blessings, because how many people have had a blessing where they've been blessed? And as I look at the passage in Mark, starting in chapter 10, it says, "People were bringing little children to Jesus to have them touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, 'Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it.' And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them." And what a beautiful thought, what a beautiful image of Jesus himself putting his hands on children and blessing them. Can you imagine being one of those little kids that got personally blessed by Jesus? Whoa! But we're going to talk about the importance of blessing, the significance of blessing, and how important it is to be blessed. We're going to do that in just a minute with Dr. Greg Borgon. We'll take a little break and get a sip of water and get started.
When you support Faith Radio during our fall fundraiser known as Share, you provide hope and encouragement for all who listen. Whether they hear the relevant Bible preaching and teaching over the air, online through our website and mobile app, or on demand, lives are changed. Your gift of any amount matters, so please call 877-933-2484, and at the prompt, press 2 to begin your $1 a day gift. Thank you.
Start each day in God's Word. Find encouragement for a broken world and bring the hope of Jesus to others when you are rooted in the Word of God. Keep the Word of God in front of you throughout your day with beautiful images and the daily verse worth displaying on your computer or phone screen, near your desk, or on your refrigerator. Sign up at myfaithradio.com and a Bible verse will be delivered to your email inbox every day. That's myfaithradio.com and click on Verse of the Day.
It's 7 minutes after the hour. I realize every time I have a friend in studio, I just want to bring him on, but I suppose I should be polite and give some a little bit of the resume. Dr. Greg Borgon got his bachelor's degree in psychology, a master's of divinity, and then he went on and got his PhD, his doctorate of education. So he's been married for over 40 years, has 6 grandkids, and always happy to have him in studio. Hello, Greg.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Thank you. Now, I want to talk about the significance of a blessing. I think of the time when Jesus got baptized, and when he was emerging from the water, I don't know what happened. The heavens parted, a dove descended, and the voice of God said, "This is my Son whom I love, with whom I'm well pleased." I always thought to myself, a man can really go out into the world in strength when he has that kind of, I guess that little blessing, that's identification. Yeah. It's a father saying, "You're mine. I love you. I'm proud of you."
Yeah, exactly.
Oof.
Oh, it's a lost art, though, especially in Western culture. Yet it is all through the scriptures. There's over 400 and some occurrences where the word blessing or blessed or some derivative thereof is found, and you can find, you know, Moses blessing Joshua, and as a matter of fact, going all the way back, God blessing Abraham, Abraham blessing Isaac, Isaac blessing Jacob, Jacob blessing his sons, and on and on and on, and how important and significant that was, and to be affirmed. And sometimes, quite frankly, in the Old Testament, the blessings were warnings, which indeed is a blessing, to be warned about something you may not anticipate and to be prepared for it. So it may come across a little harsh, but it still was a blessing. But it is a lost art. People don't know how to do that today.
You know, Greg, what does a blessing look like, sound like? You know, we use blessings as we sign emails and hey, mm-hmm. bless you. And that's not what we're talking about here, is it?
No, we're talking about something far more significant. I mean, there are really three types of blessings. There's an action-oriented blessing that is one where an act of kindness is initiated on behalf of a person who may or may not be even aware of the originator of the blessing. The second type of blessing is a responsive blessing. It's impromptu, brought on by circumstances or opportunity. But the ones of real significance, the ones that are really highlighted in the Bible, are what I would call a strategic blessing, to which most of the blessings in the Bible are. And one in which we prepare well in advance for someone who has asked for such a blessing, or someone God has laid on our heart to formally bless. These blessings are planned events, and they require a lot of preparation. When I was flying back from Brazil years ago, God laid on my heart the need to bless my family, all six of my grandchildren, my daughter, my son-in-law, my wife. And the attendant must have thought I was wacky, because I'm sitting there writing away in my seat with tears streaming down, and she probably didn't know what to do with me. But God was just pouring out his soul in my soul so I could pour it out in the souls of my loved ones. And so when we came back, we were ready to take a vacation. We went to Green Lake Conference Center, and we rented this big place called the White House. And so for two evenings, we set this overstuffed chair by the fireplace, and my wife and I would take each one of the members of our family and sit them down, and we'd lay hands on them, and we would bless them. We would affirm them. And the last one to get a blessing was my little four-year-old grandson, Lachlan, who knew it was his turn, ran up, jumped in the chair, clasped his hands, says, "I'm ready." And so we blessed him, and he jumped down, and he hugged us both. And I wrote those blessings and put them on the wall of our home, called the Wall of Champions, where even to this day, our grandsons will, I'll catch them reading that blessing, or maybe I'll ask them, "Can I bless you again?" But it's the power of the blessing. Let me give you an example of what that may look like.
Okay.
My grandson, Galen, who is now 17, this was his blessing. Now, keep in mind, when we do a blessing, it's based on prayerful observations. It contains unique virtues or values. It's informed by Scripture. There's always meaningful touch, appropriate touch, a spoken message out loud, an attachment or attaching high value in the one being blessed, picturing a special future, and it's an act of commitment to help them reach that as much as it's left up to you. So you'll see all of that wrapped up in this blessing. So if you'll bear with me, I'll just read this blessing I wrote for my
grandson.
Oh,
please, I'd love to hear it.
Heavenly Father, may Galen grow up to be a man after your heart. May he live out his values of goodness and integrity and boldness. May his sweet disposition, tenderness, and strength of character keep his feet on the narrow path and provide stability to others. May he have many friends who will enrich his life. May his great work ethic bring him prosperity so he can share with those less fortunate. May his focus, tenacity, and natural goodness make him a mighty warrior for you. May others gain strength from him and be encouraged to reach their full potential because of his example. May he lead others in the path of righteousness. May his beautiful smile warm the hearts of all who come into his presence. May his life be a pleasing act of worship to you. And then I usually inform it by some scripture that kind of frames the values that I gave him. So I chose, in Galen's case, Psalm 15, 1 through 5, because his values were goodness and integrity. So this passage is all about integrity. Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? He whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks truth from his heart and has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man, who despises a vile man but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath even when it hurts, who lends his money without usury and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. So that's written, and it's on the Wall of Champions, and it's God's blessing.
Yeah, I love it.
That's the power of a blessing, because you're affirming what you might see in them. I don't care how young they are. There are still characteristics and personality traits that you'll notice if you take a moment to observe them. And you'll get a sense of it. But it's always basked in prayer where you ask the Heavenly Father, Father, how would you want me to bless this person? What do you see in them that I don't? What can I bestow on them that will provide light on the dark path in this ever-darkening world they're going to travel? And so you put all of that together and you affirm them. And sometimes in the blessing, like for my other son, Kieran, his was courage and valor, and there was nothing courageous or valor about him as a boy. He was scared of his own shadow. And so my blessing was about courage and valor, things I felt that God was compelling me to ask him to grow into and to become. But it always is affirmation. It's not an opportunity for a parent to live vicariously through their children by asking them to be something they weren't. It's really focused on that person. And it isn't always a parent to a child, or a grandparent to a grandchild. It could be a mentor to a mentoree, a teacher to a student. It could be even a son to a father or a daughter to a mother.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a blessing for my mother, and I mailed it to her, and she just wept over it. But I wanted her to know at the late stage of her life what her input into my life meant to me. Mm. And how I valued her. That's the power of a blessing.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to take a little break, but I didn't discuss this with Greg, so he might get mad at me, but maybe there's a listener today that is hearing this, and they've never, ever had a blessing of any kind, and maybe you're at a place in life where you need more than ever before just to have someone pray a blessing on you.
Yeah.
And we would be so thrilled to do that for you. And you know who you are, and you know God is prompting you to say, they're talking about me. Uh-oh. 877-933-2484. Let us pray a blessing for you. Otherwise, we'll take a break, and then when we come back, we'll continue with Dr. Greg Borgon. Be back in a minute. Welcome back to the show. It's 18 minutes after the hour. Dr. Greg Borgon is in studio with me. We're talking about blessings and how important blessings are in life. And we actually wanted to open the phone lines up for people who might be in a place where they have never had a blessing or they desperately need a blessing. And we want to do that right now. There's a caller on the line. Evelyn is calling in. Hello, Evelyn.
Hi.
It sounds like you're in need of a blessing.
Yes, I've never had a blessing, and I've had a lot of suffering in my life, and I was always trying to bless everybody else, but nobody ever blessed me.
All right, Greg?
Evelyn, would you mind if I gave you a blessing right now?
Yes, I don't mind.
Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing upon Evelyn. You superintended her formation in her mother's womb. You knew her before she ever was. She's not a mistake, a happenstance, or a coincidence. She was on your heart before she ever came to be. And I ask you, Lord, to bring out in her what you've already created inside of her. May it manifest itself in power. May it bring glory and honor to your name. And may she sense your unconditional love for her so that she can not only be a recipient, but can offer it to others. Honor her, Lord. Bring warmth to her soul. Touch her in a very special way. And let her know about your unconditional love and how unique she is. And that you have a purpose for her life. In Jesus' name, I pray.
In Jesus' name, thank you.
You're welcome, Evelyn.
God bless you, Evelyn. Thank you.
God bless you. You too. Bye.
Yeah. So let's get back to the Thank you, by the way, Greg. That was beautiful. Let's get back to the significance of blessing. And let's look at the fight between Esau and Jacob over his father's blessing, his approval, his inheritance. There was a big fight over that.
Yeah, there was. I mean, it's longing for that love to be considered that special, unique individual as compared to anyone else. It's hard for a parent to go ahead and single out one child over another and say, you're special and you maybe are not so special. And that can have ramifications down through the years, not only in the life of the individual, but decades thereafter, just as the history in the Bible tells us about both of these characters. So the idea is that we need to be affirming, and we need to be able to identify the uniqueness in every soul. Because if they don't receive that blessing, they'll look for it in all the wrong places.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll get a blessing they consider to be a blessing that may be for evil rather than for good. And so we need to start developing an ability to be able to bless those that are matter to us, those who are within our sphere of influence, even if we haven't received a blessing ourselves. Giving a blessing, in effect, returns a blessing to your own soul. I blessed numerous people. I was speaking to a group of about 100 men in California years ago, and I asked the men, I stood up and said, how many of you received the blessing from your father? Not one of them raised their hand.
Wow.
And then I asked them, how many of you long for a blessing from your father? And almost everybody raised their hand. So I said, this evening when I come back, if you'll permit me to be a surrogate for your Heavenly Father to give you a blessing, if you come forward, I will bless you. And so I thought maybe 10 or 12 would do it. We came back, and over 60 men came forward to receive that blessing. It was a very emotional time. Everyone needs to know they're esteemed, that somebody sees something of value in them, that there is potential within their soul. I don't care where they've come from or what they've done. When we were doing work in the prison in Lino Lakes, and we had 20 or so offenders that came to some training we were giving on how to be a man after God's heart, I took the opportunity to bless them. And these hardened men who had spent somewhere up to 20 years in prison, many of them taking somebody else's life, knelt down and just absolutely wept. 90 to 95% of the men in prison have now had a father influence in their life. And so when they received that blessing, even given by a stranger, it just had huge impact.
They're craving it, aren't they, Greg? I mean,
well, every human soul is.
Oh, of course.
I mean, it's more than just saying, well, I bless you. It's taking the time to craft a blessing and then to administer to them that has meaning and significance. That's why, you know, there are certain steps you need to go through, bathing it in prayer, thinking through what values may God want you to bestow on them, the meaningful touch, affirming what you've already seen in them and maybe what is yet to be seen in them, and then actually giving them the blessing. And then as much as, again, it's left up to you, is helping them reach that design potential of the Creator in them. It may be by dropping them a card on occasion so they're not forgotten. And maybe when you see them, blessing them again. The idea of a blessing is not a one-time event. I bless my grandsons regularly. It's the same blessing, but it's still meaningful to them. It's just making sure that they know that their papa, me, cares about them and esteems them and values them.
What a gift. That's just a huge gift. I mean, it's a blessing to me just hearing about you blessing them.
Oh, you know, sometimes it's funny when they walk across and they see this wall of champions and their blessings on the wall, and I'll say, can papa bless you? And sometimes they'll be, you know, boys, and they'll say, no, not right now. But I know sooner or later that day they'll come back when they're not with their friends and say, Papa, will you bless me? And so I'll bless them. But you know what? We can get carried away by the tyranny of the urgent. We can let time pass and forget about blessing those that matter in our life. I would encourage those of you that are listening. I don't know what your home life was like. Maybe it was a very difficult situation. But sometimes as a child, we need to bless people who may have raised us, like a grandparent. Give them a blessing. It isn't always an older person to a younger person. It can be a younger person to an older person. What a great value that would be, that somebody who has invested in your life, you've blessed them because of that investment. What a powerful testimony.
Is it? Does it feel like a high risk activity?
Oh, it is, because you know you're not always knowing what's going on in the soul of the individual. You don't know if you'll be rebuffed, but not doing anything is not an option. And all you can do is ask, and can I give you a blessing? And if they say no, that's fine. Then it's no. But it is a risk, in the sense that you could be denied the opportunity. But I'd rather be denied the opportunity than not seize the opportunity.
You know, my favorite movie, Gladiator, has a...
Mine too.
Is it yours too?
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
It has a moment in it where a blessing was not received,
yeah,
and what damage it did.
Yeah, well, Commodus, who was the emperor-to-be, is summoned to his father's tent, Marcus Aurelius, who was the last philosopher emperor of Rome,
mm-hmm,
who actually lived. The battle actually took place that was in the movie with the Germanic tribes. But at the end of it, Commodus is summoned to the tent and expecting that his father is going to let him know that he's going to be the next emperor. And so he tells him some bad news. He's not. And so there's this amazing dialogue. He says, and I'll just quote it. He says, "You wrote me once, listing the four chief virtues, wisdom, justice, fortitude, and temperance. As I read the list, I knew I had none of them. But I have other virtues, Father." And so he lists what some of those other virtues are. But then he says, "But none of my virtues were on your list. Even then, it was as if you didn't want me as your son." So this initial interchange, in essence, is what he's saying is, I never received a blessing from you. And so Marcus Aurelius drops to his knees and says, your fault as a son is my failure as a father, which wasn't a blessing indeed. I have to wonder, and I'm sure you do too, Bill, had he ever received that blessing from his father of affirmation, what would history be saying about him today? Instead, he's got a terrible reputation. He killed so many in the ring, and he ended up being assassinated by a wrestler after poison failed, and was a terrible emperor. Think about now, today, about what we're witnessing and the pervasiveness of evil. How could that be impacted if we would just bless others? And those that have often perpetrated those terrible crimes, I would suspect they either didn't have a father in their life or no one meaningful, but certainly have never received a blessing and were ever esteemed by anyone that mattered in their life. How could that be changed? When we think of our children going into an ever-darkening world, or even, as you said on a break, going to college.
Yeah.
What better gift to give them than a blessing?
What a great time to be blessing your children as they are going off to college. Greg, what a delight. I love this topic, and you have done such a nice job of inspiring us and giving us encouragement to go out and be a blessing and give a blessing to someone. So thank you. Yeah. We'll do this. We'll continue this discussion. This is a good one. We'll take a short break and be back with more in just a minute.
There's no safe space, folks. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. You've heard of safe spaces on college campuses where delicate students can escape ideas that challenge their liberal beliefs? Well, when Christian parents think of safe spaces for their students, they often think of Christian colleges, places where their children won't be exposed to the worst of the sexual revolution, trendy theology, etc. Well, folks, think again. More and more, as I speak at Christian colleges, I encounter students who tell me their professors are getting squishy and some caving on biblical morality, especially on issues like homosexuality and same-sex marriage. It sounds shocking, but I've heard it from professors themselves. More and more, a fuzzy emphasis on love and personal experience is replacing biblical teaching and 2 millennia of Christian tradition. So beware, parents. If your child is headed to a Christian college, do your homework. Find out where the college stands, where the faculty stands, whether with Scripture or with the culture. I'm John Stone Street.
It is 32 minutes after the hour. Bill Arnold, so glad you joined me today. I hope you enjoyed Dr. Greg Borgond. I know I did. And if you have not thought about ever giving a loved one in your life a blessing, you must consider that. It's a great thing. I think it's been said that we connect to each other at our level of brokenness. And if you've ever gone through a really difficult time in your life, you seem to want to gravitate towards people who have had similar experiences just because they can relate to you. And my guest, Andy Lombard-Benson, is in studio with me today. And I have to say, of all the stories I've heard about difficulty and certain levels of brokenness, her story is pretty unique. And she's now spends a lot of time and energy doing care connection and grief support, because she's been there and she knows how to connect to people and give them encouragement and hope. So I invited her to come in and talk about her ministry and her story, and I'm very excited to have her in studio. Hello, Annie.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having
me. So, my pleasure. So if you would, give our listeners a little bit of your journey.
My journey. It's a big one.
It is indeed.
And I often say, you know, everybody kind of has their story. And but I've said mine has a lot of chapters and twists and turns. And so kind of the short version is I was blessed. It was, 14, 15 years ago that I met an incredible man in my life. And he was a man of faith. And together we shared a faith journey and a love, and it was incredible. And we got engaged one beautiful May day, and we were on a business trip a month later when we had a medical emergency, and we were in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Didn't know anybody, and quickly realized that it was beyond anything we could handle. So an ambulance was called, and he was brought in, and had a mass that was removed from his rectal area, and they were pretty, you know, oh, no big deal. We found a little mass. We don't think it's anything, you know. And we were about to step on the plane and got the call and a diagnosis that it was confirmed that it was cancer. So that was kind of the beginning of the journey. And at that point...
You just got engaged at that point,
we
right?
We had 1 month.
You've been engaged one month.
1 month.
Okay.
We had been engaged 1 month. And we approached it with really kind of how we approached life, which was with a deep and profound faith that this was going to turn out and it was going to be okay, and that this would just be a little bump in the road and we would get through it. He was very young at the time of diagnosis. He was 43 years old, and it was colon cancer, which, you know, typically colon cancer, when caught early, is very treatable. It is well managed, and people live on to have pretty healthy, good lives. So we were optimistic. And so we approached it as, we're not going to live our life with any what ifs. We're going to just continue to move forward as this is God's plan for us, and that it's going to be a good journey, and we're ready for this. So we got married that July, 1 week after he started chemotherapy. So giddy up, jump in with both feet. And he had said at the time, he said, you know, you don't need to marry me. He said, you, this isn't what you signed up for when you said yes. And I'm like, no, this is really kind of what it's all about. Little did we know that in sickness and in health would be so quick. So again, we were very optimistic. We were excited about what lay ahead of us. And again, we chose to not live as if, you know, with a doomsday approach. We thought, this is going to be good. We're going to have a long life together. So we worked to get pregnant because we knew that we wanted children. And it was interesting how, we had, up until then it was pretty easy, pretty steady. And he was going through chemotherapy and radiation, was doing really well, responding well, was doing great. So when we chose to decide to bring children into this, things were going along very well. And I remember distinctly, it was a September day, we got a call. He had just had a PET scan. He was feeling great. We got two phone calls on that September day. And the first phone call came at about 9 in the morning. And you know it's a bad sign when your doctor's calling you saying, we need to talk. And they had said, well, we got your PET scan results. And despite you feeling good and despite everything going really well, it's metastasized and it's in your liver. And we don't think you're going to make it until Christmas. And this was September. 4 hours later, we got a call that said, you're pregnant. And so this dichotomy of joy and profound sadness and really disappointment at what we really didn't anticipate happening for us. Things were going well. He felt great. He looked good. You wouldn't look at him and think, this is not somebody that's struggling with cancer. So as we did with everything, it was always interesting how God just kind of really met us where we were at in that journey. Every morning we would sit together on the couch. He'd have his back on one side, me on the other. Our feet would be facing. We'd be drinking our coffee. And we would just do devotionals together. And that morning, the devotional was a prayer about just really letting God take your worries and worry about nothing, pray about everything. And here we are staring at each other thinking, okay, we get the message. We got this. We get it. We're going to turn this over to you. So imagine our surprise when we went in, I can't even think of how many weeks later, for our first ultrasound. And the doctor, you know, they're doing the ultrasound, and the doctor just gets this really funny look on his face. And I said, well, what's the funny look about? And I'm a nurse by training and by work, so I still work as a nurse. And I said, well, I see a heartbeat. And I said, so, you know, why the funny face? And the doctor looks at me and he said, no, we see a heartbeat. But he said, here's the second one. He said, you're having identical twins. So needless to say, not really what we expected, but we were delighted and absolutely thrilled that God had not only decided to bless us, but bless us abundantly with two children. So continued to walk that journey throughout my pregnancy. I felt great. I was thankfully one of those lucky pregnant women who was energized, felt good, loved being pregnant, and everything was going really well. Dean was responding to treatment. He, again, you know, we always laughed because he would go through chemo, his hair would fall out, it would grow back in, and then he'd have hair for a while, and then it was like, oh, well, you know, it's still growing a little bit, so let's try something else. So it was with an incredible heart that we had gone in with the journey throughout, checked weekly because we were having identical twins. So I had gone in weekly and was approaching my 35-week check. And Dean had accompanied me on every single checkup, was there all the time. So we went in for the 35-week check, and he had an appointment that day. And I said, you know what, just go ahead, go do it. He had acupuncture. And so I said, this is good. You take care of you. I'll go in. Everything's been great. And I can still, even though it was over 11 years ago, remember that exact moment where I walked into the doctor's office, and the two nurses that had walked the whole pregnancy with me had just left. They had moved to a different clinic, so I had a new nurse. I was expecting that, you know, Philip was a certain way and Peter was a certain way. And so they start doing the ultrasound. And the boys had to do tests each week where they would do these biophysical profiles where they got points. And they had a certain time frame to get all their points. And Philip was the one that he would do it, Johnny, on the spot right away. And Peter was super feisty. And they would say, Peter, you've got, you know, 1 minute left. If you're going to do anything, you got to do it now. And in a flurry of activity, he'd get all his points in his test for that week.
So these are babies in the womb.
Babies in the womb.
Okay.
Yep. They had tests.
I just wanted to make that clear for the listeners.
They had to breathe a certain number of times. They had to, you know, do whatever.
Because I haven't breathed since you started telling the story, just so you know. So I'm scoring no points.
Yeah. So they are still in the womb. And we went in. I went in because, again, Dean was at his appointment. And they started doing the ultrasound and we see the one heartbeat right away and she's searching. And I said, oh yeah, you know, Philip's right down here. Peter oftentimes lays on top of him. You just kind of have to wedge him around, wiggle a little bit. And then they brought a second nurse in. And that was the point where I said, I'm a nurse. When you bring somebody else in, this isn't a good sign. What's going on? And they said, well, we're going to bring you to the big ultrasound room. And so they brought me into the big room, and it was at that point when they had the ultrasound on the big screen that I said, I see Philip's spine, and I see where his heart should be beating, and I don't see a heartbeat. And they said, we don't either. And it was at that moment that my world just fell apart. And here I was, separated and isolated from Dean. He was at his appointment because everything had been fine. And I remember making that call saying, we've lost Philip. And he said, what do you mean we've lost Philip? He was fine 5 days ago. I said, I know that. We've lost Philip. Because they were identicals, they shared a placenta and an amniotic sac. And so they were concerned that Peter would start trying to compensate for Philip. So they said they need to come out immediately. They scheduled me for an emergency C-section, but because I was on blood thinners during my pregnancy, we had to wait 12 hours before I could meet my boys for the first time. And there were a lot of gifts in that that we can circle back and talk about. But that was really a changing, marking moment for me and Dean. And Dean really, at that point, it felt like he gave up his fight. He had often said, you know, I feel like God and I had a deal that you could do whatever you wanted to me, but you just needed to leave my children alone. And that was really a turning point for his health. Despite doing really pretty well up until then, he declined fairly rapidly after we lost Philip. The boys were born on April 24th, and January 7th of that following year, Dean passed away. So I found myself at 34 years old, widowed, and mom to an eight-month-old baby. And to say they were difficult days was easily the greatest understatement that I've ever said. And it was really through God putting people and incredible blessings in my life that I have been able to move forward from that and use that experience really to impact others that have found themselves in unexpected situations or in circumstances that they could have never imagined, but now this is their new journey and this is their path, and they have to try to navigate it and figure it out. So that's kind of the Cliff Notes version, as I say.
Yeah, it's gripping, really. It's hard to believe everything that God put in your path and asked you to endure.
Right.
I know there's more to come, and there's some joy and happiness coming as well.
Absolutely.
And we're going to talk about that when we come back from break. It's Annie Lombard-Benson is my guest, and we're going to take a little break, and we'll return with more of her story in just a minute. The big hand is on the 46, so I'll do the math for you. It's 14 minutes until the top of the hour. I'm so glad you're with me today. We're speaking to Annie Lombard-Benson, and she has gone through quite a bit in life and has a very vibrant ministry to helping people who have suffered through similar things, care counseling, grief, and support. And if you've been listening to this story, you can't wait for it to continue. And if you've missed any of it, you're going to want to back up the tape and hear the whole thing from the start. So, Annie, let's take where your boys were born C-section.
Yes.
But one of them is born dead.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct. Yep. And to kind of give a spoiler, one of the things that I have found in this journey is that God has been so faithful to me. And I have seen it really in the people that he's placed in my life, not always ones that I've known until all of a sudden they appear to walk beside me. And sometimes it's for a fairly lengthy period of time, and other times it's just for a touch point, as just really the visible hand of God working through to minister to me. And one of those examples is, when my boys were born, there is a nonprofit organization near and dear to my heart. I encourage you to check it out online. They are an amazing organization called Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep. And they are a group of professional photographers that volunteer their services for terminally ill or stillborn babies so that parents have the opportunity to have pictures of their children. And so, as I had kind of said, when they figured that they needed to take both boys, it was 12 hours from the time that we knew they needed to come until they actually came. They reached out to a photographer by the name of Jessica, and she said, I got that call, and I knew that I was supposed to be the one to be there with you. She had a twin pregnancy, lost one twin early in the pregnancy, and then unbeknownst to me at the time, subsequently during the pregnancy, her son Eli was diagnosed with trisomy 18, which is a condition that's incompatible with life. So she went through the rest of her pregnancy knowing that when her surviving twin came, that he would not survive for long, if at all. So she took that pain and turned it into her own gift to others. So Jessica scrubbed into my C-section and captured the moments that I didn't get to experience, captured the moments where Dean got to hold his boys for the first time. And this most, the most amazing picture that she had was the where he's holding both of them and he has this joy and anguish in his face at the same time. This joy of having this, this beautiful baby boy, Peter, our surviving twin, and this devastation that Philip wasn't here with us. And she captured these pieces that I couldn't be part of because I'm laying on a table recovering from a C-section.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite image of that whole time is our pastor was there and grandparents and my brother and his wife. And we baptized Philip, and she has this beautiful picture of his baptism, me holding Philip and everybody's hands laid on Philip. And just again, just these gifts of people using their pain to minister to others, and Jessica just being one of many that has been part of that journey for me.
Wow, that's amazing. So share with our listeners a little bit of the community that just came around you. You're after Dean died, you're a single mom.
Yes.
And you're raising this Peter.
Peter.
Right, you're raising Peter. Mm-hmm. And yeah. You've got your hands full.
I did.
What was life like for you?
You know, I look back, so much of it, I don't remember. It's such a blur.
Okay.
But
that's fair. That's right? Totally fair.
But it was amazing. Dean was a coach in the Edina sports system in mm-hmm. club sports. And the people that came to walk alongside me, I mean, and to this day, we continue to be friends. One of them was basically the female equivalent coach in Edina. That kind of matched up the level that he was coaching. Her name is Marnie. She was totally out of her comfort zone, but she said, I remember the day that I called you and said, do you want me to come hang out with you? She had a baby 6 days after Peter was born, and she knew Dean and she knew our story, and it was so far out of her comfort zone. And to this day, we continue to be fabulous friends. The people at the church that I belong to, Christ Presbyterian in Edina, the pastors, the people that were in the grief recovery program at that time that came and walked with me, the people that worked with Dean, his acupuncturist, the person that he did some healing energy work with. It was just amazing how many people came and walked it. And particularly, I have to give incredible kudos to Dean's parents and my mom. My dad passed away. It'll be 20 years ago this fall. So my mom had a unique perspective that she was a young widow. And so she said, I know what it's like to walk in those shoes. And so she said, I will be here walking this with you. So my mom, Dean's parents, friends, church community, people that you just never anticipated, but just stepped up to the plate and said, we are here. We will hold you. We will walk this with you as long as you need us to do that.
Did you have the moments of why God and explain this to me?
Oh, absolutely.
Did you do any fist shaking at God? Were you mad?
I still say when I get up there, I think he's got some explaining to do.
I don't think so.
I've come to peace with it. And again, as you kind of alluded to, there have been abundant blessings in this. But to say that it was really difficult and that I did a lot of questioning and really struggled with why so much. Why would I be put through so much at such a young age? And mm-hmm. and why me? And I'm sure that a lot of people that go through difficult circumstances like this struggle with those same questions.
Mm-hmm. So when you're having a conversation with somebody who is in the midst of this kind of suffering, how do you come alongside them and just care for them and love them and let them know that, you know, You get it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and a lot of times just listening and saying that, you know what, God is big enough. He is big enough for our anger and our questions and our doubts. And I say, it's okay. Feel all the feels because, you know what, if you try to get around him, it's not going to work. You really have to go through that and really feel all of those emotions because there's so much that comes along with grief and loss and...
What were some of the things that came along with the grief? Were you able to pray, or were you too burned out to pray?
There was a time where God didn't get first priority for a while,
yeah.
And I needed to experience that. I needed to be angry. I needed to get through that phase of feeling like it was so unfair. But it was funny because even during the midst of those times, I would go to church, and it would be the message that I exactly needed to hear that day, or somebody would reach out and just say, you know what, you were on my heart today, and this is what I feel like I needed to say to you. So it was funny how much I might have wanted to close that door and not really listen. God just kind of kept nudging me and saying, nope, you know what, I'm still here, and here is my peace and my gift to you in the midst of this, and here is my message that I think that you need to hear right now.
Annie, it sounds like if you get a lot of points of connection, that makes a big difference.
Absolutely.
Because, yeah. I mean, you want to be close to people, but you still create distance, don't you?
Absolutely.
So if you get little points of connection, you feel like people are reaching out and caring and and helping you get through this time.
Yep, absolutely. I think that's 100%. And a lot of times people would say, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. And my piece of advice is, you know what? You don't have to know what to do or what to say. You just have to show up with a humble heart and with love and just say, I don't have the answers. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. But you know what? I am here, and I will walk this with you in whatever way you need me to walk it.
Mm-hmm. When you speak at grief and support groups, what do you feel is the are you hopeful when you leave?
You know, I am. It has been interesting because, again, if I would have told you when I was younger what my life would look like, this would not be the story.
There's no way
that I would have written.
There's no way this would be your story.
Right, exactly.
Not in 100 years.
Nope. I wouldn't have picked it. You know, I wouldn't have said, this is how I want to do it. Yet, when I'm able to look back and see the gifts in this, it has been absolutely incredible. And I leave so hopeful every time I speak, every time I engage with somebody that is struggling, I leave hopeful and I leave getting more out of it than I feel like I give to them.
Mm-hmm. You know, I had a guest on the show this week that called in, and he lost a son when his son was 10. And he said, in order to have an unshakable faith, you sometimes need to be shaken.
Exactly. That's so true.
Isn't that true?
So true. Absolutely. Yep. If you never have any trials or struggle, you don't really know that God is there, that God is faithful, that he will continue to show up and continue to love you and continue to give you the messages that you need to hear.
Mm-hmm. When you were going through those early stages of mourning, you had the joy of Peter.
Oh, yeah.
And then you had the incredible pain of losing Dean, your husband, and then Philip, your other twin son. So was it when you were in the middle of that, was God showing up every day?
He really was, whether I was willing to see it
okay.
or hear it or not. Yeah. Some days I was like, I cannot handle this. No, no.
Yeah.
And I just needed to kind of just be in my pity party. But he did. He always showed up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We all like our pity parties, don't we?
Absolutely.
But if
Absolutely.
Anyone is entitled to one, it's certainly been you. I mean, these are really difficult stories and really amazing way in which the first day I met you, I thought, boy, this woman has a lot of joy. That was my first impression.
Thank you.
And
yeah.
I thought, and then I heard your story, and I had a hard time putting the two together. Then I realized, well, of course you have joy because of who you serve.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Any words as we wrap up that you could comfort those who might be in a similar situation?
I would just, you know, I think the greatest words that I can offer is that God will be faithful, and he is faithful, and it may be hard to see, and sometimes that road looks really broken and dark, but sometimes we don't always have all the answers until we're able to look back and say, now I see it. I see the hand of God working there, and I see how that was God telling me that he is here and he is faithful. So as easy as it is to say, and certainly maybe a bit of a platitude, but just have faith.
Yeah. Annie Lumbar-Benson, what a delight to be in studio. Thank you so much for coming in. That wraps up our show. Have a great weekend, everybody, and God bless. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.